Good afternoon. This is Jack Marks, publisher of Wall Street Reporter, and today I'm speaking with Dan Forbush, and he's the CFO for General Metals Corporation. Stock symbol is GNMT on the bulletin board. Dan, thank you for joining us.
Hey, I appreciate the opportunity. Thank you very much for doing so.
So let's, why don't we bring investors, up to date on your gold mining project in Nevada.
Okay. Well, let me start off by saying the General Metals Corporation is traded, as you said, on OTT, on the bulletin board, but we're also traded in Frankfurt. And we're a fully reporting, publicly listed, and traded production-oriented junior mining company. We're engaged in evaluation, acquisition, and that's kind of an important concept, and exploration of advanced gold and silver projects in the state of Nevada, and we're also looking for opportunities throughout North America. Our most important project at this time, and really our sole project, is the Independence project, and it's situated due south of Newmont Sunshine Mine in the Battle Mountain Cortez Gold Belt, and it's also surrounded by Newmont's Phoenix project, which is projected to become the largest operating gold mine in the United States. It's not quite there yet, but they're working towards that objective. And it's also about 14 miles southwest of the town of Battle Mountain here in Nevada, right off of I-80, Interstate 80. And the project consists of 14 mining claims, unpatented mining claims, totaling about 240 acres. Now, it was predominantly a silver mine. This area was previously produced as a silver mine intermittently from 1938 to 1987, and it produced 750,000 ounces of gold historically, or silver, sorry, historically, and about 70,000 ounces of gold at the same time. It's that reason that we went back to this project to find out if there was a gold envelope, and so in 2007-2008 we did 84 drill holes, and we've been compiling and have now finished that compilation of the data that we received during that project, and it's identified a significant envelope of mineralization in the area. We sequentially tested, defined, and determined that it's a near-surface oxide mineralization in this target, and it appears to be amenable to the low-cost open-pit mining and heap leaching technology in the mining industry. And we're working very hard in the permitting process right now so that we can bring this project into production in the near term.
Okay. So essentially, you have this project, which is actually – you're surrounded by, I guess, some major gold producers, and historically, this actually has been a producing mine, although it was mostly silver, and now you've developed some data which indicates that there could be some significant gold there. Yeah,
that is correct. Newmont is the successor to a mine that was called the Fortitude in the 80s and 90s. And the Fortitude was an enormous deposit by many standards, and it was produced by a company called Battle Mountain Gold. Back even earlier than that, in the mid to late 50s, it was a copper area. So this area is known as a copper skarn deposit, this whole entire area that we're in. And it starts off with a copper gold core with a gold-silver halo, and then a silver-gold halo, and then the furthest halo out of this huge deposit, or this huge mineralized area, turns into a lead-zinc deposit. And we are located in the gold, in the silver-gold, between the silver-gold and the gold-silver part of this halo. It's fully oxidized. It has no copper. It's easily producible. Historically, they had no trouble producing 97% recoveries on the material that they took out of the underground. This is a great project. It's a project that reminds me a lot of a project in my former days when I was working at Glamis called the Picacho Mine, and the Picacho Mine built that company from the ground up. This project has all of the signatures and almost identical characteristics of that particular mine that makes it such an enormous opportunity.
So, okay, so from what I understand, you're a little bit, you're somewhere in between you know, most of the junior exploration companies and the producers. In other words, you actually have you know, some pretty strong data, and you're, from what I understand, the production, you can go into actual production relatively quickly.
Yes, that is correct. You know, the 2007-2008 drilling program that we did identified a large body of near-surface oxide mineralization that had a strike length of about 4,100 feet. That's pretty large. And we discovered a new zone in this project called the Hill Zone. There was a canyon, a valley, a little canyon on the property that everybody thought the gold mineralization was south of that canyon. And we found that the property, that the gold mineralization was rising from the south to the north at about a 10-degree angle, and if you extended that out a little further, it should daylight at the top of this hill that's on the property, which is about halfway through the property. And we went up on that hill, did some sampling, found it, went up and drilled it, and discovered a whole new zone of mineralization that previously was unknown to be there. So we're really excited about that. And after a thorough review of all of that data, and we combined that with all the historic data, we, by the way, are the only company that has all of the data from all of the previous operators on this property, and that number of operators is in the 10 to 15 range, I think, at least. It could be more. Mm-hmm. So we've got all of their data that they incurred or that they collected in their processes, and we add that to our data, and we believe that there's a 40 million tons of mineralized material in this shallow target. And we think it could contain up to 500,000-600,000 ounces of gold and 11 million ounces of silver. It's a good project. But to go along with that, there's a deep component to this thing that was drilled by a big company called Noranda. And people that might have been in the industry for a while would know about Noranda. That big deposit, they went down deep, about 2,500 feet. And they hit a very, very high-grade skarn deposit, very high-grade gold, and there could be a significant amount of ounces down there. I mean, a lot more than we're talking about in the surface, a lot. So we've spent about $3 million to get this project into this position where we can take it, and we're already in the permitting process, but where we can take it into production. So we're in the middle of the permitting process. We're hoping to expedite it as much as possible. We've talked to the regulatory authorities. They seem to be willing to assist in any way that they can to help us get this on the fast track, and that's what we're trying to do with it.
Okay. Now, in order to go into production, so in other words, right now you're in the middle of getting the necessary permits.
That is correct.
Okay. And what would it take now? What would it take to actually, you know, get into production and, you know, start, you know, really cashing in on, you know, the high gold prices that, you know, we're seeing now?
Well, we're going to have to finish some baseline studies, which actually the field work has been completed on. We're just awaiting the written reports. Those are very short, close to forthcoming. The other thing that we have to do is complete a mine plan and a resource calculation, some metallurgical work necessary to prove to the BLM, which is the primary regulatory authority here, that there really is economically recoverable mineralization here. We've already visited with the metallurgical lab people who've done a lot of work in the area because, as you noted earlier, we're in a very large gold-silver belt in the state of Nevada that has had many millions of ounces produced out of it. Fortitude did about 3 million ounces. To the south of us, about a half a dozen miles, is a property called the McCoy Cove that, when it was produced about 3 to 4 million ounces. Newmont's expecting to produce multi-million ounces of gold and hundreds of pounds of copper if they can get all of that to work right in their Phoenix project. You can go up north and you run into a couple of other huge projects that produced millions of ounces of gold, 5 or 6 million as I recall. So we're in the middle of a gold belt. We're in one of the best addresses in the state of Nevada. We we're very, very pleased to be there and very, very excited about the chances that are going to be there for us and our shareholders in building a Glamis-type mining company, a mid-tier mining company. We want to be producing a quarter of a million ounces a year in a few years from now, and this is step one to that process.
Okay. And do you have the 43-101 report on the project yet?
Yes, it's actually underway. It's been it's in the final stages of completion. We're hoping to get it reviewed in the next little while and be able to tell the world that independent third parties, as are required in the Canadian Instrument 43-101 compliant reports, have indicated that all of the stuff is accurate that we've been telling people in the press. It's going to be nice to have an independent third party certify or verify that we have what we've been telling people we have, and that's what we expect this report should say. It'll be a few more weeks getting done, if not a little bit longer. We've got some really, really exciting results that are coming together, and we talked in a press release just recently about the fact that we've got this deep component that I just described, the skarn, and that we want to make sure that people understand that it's there, and we're trying to verify the historical data that we have and maybe make it even better than that, and we're working on that as we go. So a lot of work is taking place right now. The momentum in the company has increased significantly. I'm just an excited little puppy trying to get all this work done, because there's a lot of work going forward right now.
Okay. Now, can you share with our audience like what your background is and also some of the key members of your management team?
Sure. Let me start with Steve Parent. He's the president and CEO of the company, and he's got a significant number of years of experience in the mining industry, 25 or more, and he's managed the exploration and development at junior public mining companies. And he is he was the founder and former chief executive officer of a company called Gold Spring that had a little mine called the Plum Mine here in Virginia City. Also involved with our company on the board of directors is David Solari, and he's a degreed metallurgical engineer, has 20 years of experience in the mining industry, and currently is building and installing mineral processing equipment, as I understand it, in Venezuela, for one of the largest gold mining companies in the world. So it's really exciting to have him aboard and helping us with the operational side of the business. I myself have more than 30 years of experience in the mining industry. 25 of that is in the gold business. I had management and accounting positions with Echo Bay Mines, Tenneco, Amoco, Arthur Andersen and Company when I was a CPA, when I was getting my CPA. And I also was the controller and CFO, as well as treasurer of Glamis Gold Limited. I was the controller for the first 11 years there, from about 88 to 97, and from 97 to 99, I was also chief financial officer and the treasurer. So I had a lot of experience with that company. We built that company from 25,000 ounces a year of production to 250,000 ounces a year of production. And because of that experience, that's the model that we're working on for our company. We want to build this from what we hope to be a 50 to 100,000 ounce a year producer in the Independence Project to a quarter of a million to a half a million ounce producer 4 or 5 years from now. And we are using the Glamis model, which was a very successful company before it was acquired by Goldcorp. And so that's the model we've decided to follow. We have on our board of directors Larry Bigler, who spent 30 years in the mining industry in a number of different capacities, but one of the most important was CFO and treasurer, as well as controller of Getchell Gold from 1987 to 92. He was also chief financial officer, VP, and director for Oro Nevada Resources. We have an advisory board that has some very important people on it. Ron Ametti, who has 40 years experience in the mining industry and is currently the chairman of the board of governors of the Arizona Department of Mines and Mineral Resources. But the guy that's key to all of this, has been for many years, is Robert Carrington. He's a consulting geologist, 30 years of experience. He, in his lifetime, has been a part of teams or personally involved in this, the discovery of deposits containing more than 40 million ounces of gold. I mean, he's a great treasure chest of knowledge. Sam Nunnemaker is another geologist, works closely with Bob, knows this project inside and out, and has been working extremely hard with us. And lastly, Jeff Rushesheen is another geologist that has been working hard on the project. And actually, we give him credit for figuring out that the Hill Zone was there. Jeff is a very smart man, had 17, 18 years of experience looking for gold in the Great Basin, mostly in Nevada, for a very large mining company known as Phelps Dodge. So he's had great experience. He's a great asset to the organization. We have some, like I say, we have operations covered with our team. We have finance and admin covered. We have some great geologic people. This company is set with the right kind of people to create an enormous opportunity for those interested.
Mm-hmm. Now, getting into, I guess, one of the compelling things about the story here is the possibility of going into production near term. How are you, like, what is the plan in terms of, you know, financing this? Like, how much will it cost? And, you know, how will you do this without, you know, diluting shareholders and, you know, preserving the...
Well, one of the important things to realize is that many of our shareholders are believers in the company, and they keep coming back to help us when we need it. We don't have any big, as they call them, sugar daddies in the shareholders of our company, but we have a whole lot of family and friends, and I seriously call them friends because as we've talked to them, I've gotten to know them quite well, and they've come to understand and know what we're trying to do, and they believe in us, so they've been a great help to us. The permitting process is being spearheaded by an engineering firm in Reno called Dyer Engineering, and the principal there is Dan Dyer. And Dyer Engineering, a long time ago, clear last more than a year ago, agreed and asked in many ways to take shares instead of cash to do this work because they so much believe in where we are and what we're doing and what it looks like this could become. So they're riding on the whole entire success of this, of getting us into production. So when you look at it, the geologists have nothing, can't win without us getting into production. The engineering firm can't win without us getting into production. And management can't win without getting us into production. And we want our shareholders to win. I don't think you can get a better motivation than that out of anything or anywhere in this industry at this time. So that's kind of what we're talking about. And because of Dyer Engineering's, I want to call it generosity, but also faith, we need about $500,000 to do the permitting process. So that's kind of what we're looking for right now is $500,000 to $1 million. And that's what we would use to get this project all the way to where we could literally post a bond and start turning dirt. And that should be not that far down the road. But as is necessary, the permitting process is heavily regulated, and the time frames are basically all set out in stone. And so we've got to get to a decision point with the Bureau of Land Management to determine whether we're going to be able to do an EA or an EIS, and that will determine whether we can do it in 6 months shorter period of time or the longer period of time. But we really hope and really expect that sometime during the latter part of next year we're going to be at that spot.
Okay. Now, ultimately, what is your, you know, assuming, you know, we go into production here, what is your and the management team, is what's your vision for the company, you know, 3 to 5 years from now?
Well, our vision for the company
kind
is
of,
to build
out there, but
well, it is, but you know, it's not that far. I mean, in the mining industry, you know, 3 years doesn't seem like a whole lot because the worst case scenario is it generally takes about 8 years to from acquire a piece of property that you think might have gold on it to actually being able to pour gold is an 8-year process. And we were able to shortcut some of that. We've done most of that. We're down to the short strokes here being less than 2 years. We've got less than 25% of the normal curve left to before we're into production. But besides that concept, we expect to do acquisitions either whenever there's an appropriate property that needs to be put into our portfolio of properties that can be done at a price that doesn't in any way at all slow down the progress of the Independence Project. We will be acquiring other properties to do that. But once the Independence Project is up and running, we anticipate immediately launching into bringing another project into production. So we would hope that in 3 years' time, we could either have two operating mines or at the very least be as close to having another operating mine at that time in 3 years as we are right now in having our first one. And that would be, I would think, the worst-case scenario is to be about 18 months away, in 3 years from now, being about 18 months away from having another gold mining producing, a gold mine producing. But I do believe that there are opportunities out there all over the state of Nevada to allow us to get another 50 to 100,000 ounce a year producer in our portfolio without a doubt before 5 years is out. And so that would get us into a situation where we could approach becoming a mid-tier mining company. And that mid-tier arena used to be filled with a lot of great companies, Glamis being one of those, grew from a junior to the mid-tier. Meridian Gold was another one that did the same thing. And I've got great friends and lots of advisors that came out of the Meridian as well as the Glamis experiences. And they're helping me. They're sounding boards for all of us. We use that to our advantage to be able to not make the mistakes that the others made. So I suspect that we should be a mid-tier producer, which in the old days was producing more than 200,000 ounces a year within 3 to 5 years. And that's exciting as well, because gold mining companies historically have received a 40 or more price earnings ratio. And you could see 200,000 ounces a year being a 50 to a cents to a dollar per share earnings rate, assuming gold price stays static where it is.
You know, it's interesting because a lot of a lot of really sophisticated investors are talking about $2,000-$3,000 an ounce gold.
Yeah, they are talking about a lot higher prices. The question, the question that has to come back is if the gold price is all the way up there, what has that done to the costs of the resources necessary to produce ounces of gold? And what it comes down to is, what's the price of diesel fuel, which is probably the third largest cost in the business, and what is the cost of labor going to be at that time? And I don't have an answer to those questions, but it's, in my view, it's going to be a lot. If there are any increases of a significant nature in that area, it's going to be a lot less than the gold price increases. And so because of that, our profitability will just improve as the gold price goes up.
Mm-hmm. Now, in closing, what would you say are the key reasons that, in your opinion, that investors should consider the stock today?
Well, I think primarily, the number one most important reason that anyone should consider this company is that we have a project which our drilling indicates, and historically activities in the area have indicated, should be the kind of property that you can build a company on, just like Glamis did. Glamis built their company on the back of one very, very good property, very similar to this one, both in size. Theirs was a little higher grade, not quite as many ounces, and it was very easy to leach. Everything indicates historically that this one was easy to do the same. It was not real hard on machinery, things that we see so far. We're hoping that that's also the case in this property. But after 20 years of working on that property, Glamis had created themselves a company that produced 250,000 ounces a year. In 1997, that stock company was trading, or 1999, excuse me, in 1999, that company was trading for a dollar a share. In 2007, Goldcorp came and bought the company for for more than $50 a share. It's a 50-fold increase in 8 years. It's an amazing story. Those are good people, and we just would like to replicate that. The interesting part is that if we replicate that success, a 50-fold increase from our current stock price is only $2.50 a share. It's not a huge number. But with the minimum of a static gold price and our acquisitive nature, meaning we're going to acquire additional resources and reserves, you know, a $2.50 price is just the first step, and it should be achievable in just a few years. Imagine what 8 years can bring for a company like ours that has the knowledge we've got, the resources and the people that we've got, and a project as beautiful as the Independence Project will be, to be able to create a mining company and move into that mid-tier that's been abandoned because all of those guys have been acquired by larger corporations. So the mid-tier is basically an empty tier. We'd like to be the first ones in it. Though I've heard a rumor that there's another company that just acquired some things and they've already moved into that mid-tier level, and I can't remember their name right now. But I'd be satisfied just to be second in that mid-tier.
Sounds good. Okay, great. Well, so you know, we look forward to hearing more updates from General Metals over the months ahead. Thank you for joining us, Dan.
Hey, I appreciate your time. I appreciate you listening to our story. We really are excited about the future.